Does. Hallelujah. Well, this is our last night of revival services. Appreciate again the Pattersons being here again. Appreciate again their coming out this year. I think, what did we say, 12th year again with the Patterson, and what a joy again. I like a preacher that gets to know our folks here again. Sometimes that's dangerous, but usually it's good, all right? And Brother Patterson's just a good friend of mine as well. Appreciate the good fellowship we've had this week. Even though he did beat us in the Settlers of Catan several times, we got even with him last night. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Patterson, you come on up here and preach for us. And Lord bless you again on this Friday night. Glory.
Well, praise the Lord. I can out-preach babies, amen. That don't bother me one bit. We used to have a little girl in our church when I was pastoring back in the 85, 86, 87, 88, and right around 80, early 86, she was just a little toddler, and her mom and dad sat about three or four pews back on right in the middle, you know, actually be on this side of the church. We only had two rows in there, pastor, and she would get away from her mom and her dad, and she would get down, she'd be sitting there, and she'd get down on the floor, and as soon as they were looking up and not paying attention, she'd scoot underneath that front pew. And she'd go about two pews away from them before they could get up. She'd be out in the aisle. And she loved the preacher. She loved me, that little thing. Nikki was her name. And she'd get up and she'd run all the way up to where I was. Well, I was preaching one day. I just kept on preaching. I stepped off the platform and I picked her up. And I patted her on her back and hugged her, kept on preaching, turned around and handed her to her mom. She turned around and went like this at me. You'd be the dirtiest look in the world. I tell you what, I was a traitor to her at that time. If you'd open your Bibles up tonight with me, please, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, I have one verse I want to look at this evening. So if you could stand as we read this verse. Now, if you can't stand, you just remain seated, amen. We don't make a big deal about that. My pastor hardly ever has anybody stand. And somebody asked me, well, how come Brother Mike always has people stand? I said, I don't know, it's just how I've always done it, amen. So that's what I do. And there's a verse in Scripture that talks about they stood all day long reading the Word of God, amen. But that's not the premise. We should not just base it on that, amen. But just in reverence to God's Word, maybe. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, thank you for your precious Word. Thank you again, Lord, that you are unchanging, Father. Thank you, Father, for your salvation. Never changes in us, God. Thank you, Father, for our eternal security. Never changes, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in our lives, Father, how you bless and how you continue to give us mercy and grace and help us in our time of need, Father. Thank you, Lord, tonight for those who have come out here this evening, Father. And I pray, like always, Lord, if there is anyone here who's unsure about their salvation, that tonight, Lord, they might get that settled once and for all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get started tonight, I was talking to Tony's gone tonight, by the way, him and Darlene are gone, so I can say this and I hope they will hear me through the windows, but they've been hearing what's going on in here tonight, and Brother Dust out here by the fence today, and Tony told me, he says, of course, you know, he's got a pretty foul mouth sometimes, preacher, amen, but he makes this statement, he says, I don't know who it is, he said, but I can hear somebody in there last night shouting amen and hallelujah, you know, and so I know if he could hear that, he could hear me, amen, and so he sits out there on that back porch, and they can hear everything that goes on through these walls and these windows in this church, so he's been hearing the messages at night, amen, and he might not come here to the church to hear them, but if he can hear somebody say amen, because I was preaching a lot louder than a hallelujah and amen that went on last night, amen, so I know he had to hear what was going on. And he said, you guys just need to, I said, what, relax a little bit, brother? I said, it ain't gonna happen, amen. He just started laughing at me, amen. But praise the Lord. Tony needs to be saved. I pray for him all the time. I pray for him and Darlene, you know. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. She's been very kind. And my wife and I, when we come in, she always comes over to the fence and says something to us and tells us to make sure we get our trailer far enough out of the way so she can see the lake while she's sitting on her back porch. And that's fine. I ain't going to, you know what, do everything you can to keep the peace. Amen. And that's how I look at it. But, you know, she's never been mean to me or anything. And I appreciate that, you know. But she needs to be saved. Pray for her, you know, and pray for Tony. Man, I tell you, if Tony would get saved, could you imagine the effect it would have on other people around him, Pastor, if he would just get saved? He knows so many stinking, rotten biker guys. Not that all biker guys are rotten or stinking, amen. But you know, I'm talking about, he knows a pretty rough crowd out there. And, man, what a life that would change. And Clarence Heflin over there in Oriskany Falls, ex-biker, still has his 47 Harley in his garage. Still rides it every now and then. Knucklehead, still rides it every once in a while, you know. And just loves the Lord with all of his heart. Started a church. He was just telling me the story a while ago. A guy he used to ride with got saved and is coming to the church now from his area over there because he's watched Clarence all these years since Clarence got saved out of that culture. This guy has watched him. And he's led more people to the Lord because of his testimony in the community where he lives. Be the testimony in the community where you live that you might show someone else how they can be saved. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we ought to do everything we can to help our neighbors, everything we can to keep peace with our neighbors, everything we can to pray for our neighbors as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, I can say that pretty easy because my neighbors change every week. Amen. So I'm just saying. Here in Hebrews tonight, I want to talk to you just a little bit about a thought on my mind this evening. I was looking at this morning and went over this act. I went over some of this last night and went over some more of it again this morning and finished up some thoughts I had on this. In fact, I even took some stuff out that I had in here before that had changed and thought, well, why'd I have that in there? I don't know. It's just to preach good then, but I ain't going to preach tonight, amen. But I couldn't remember what I had in there, amen. So, but tonight, this thought this evening is, in our society, I've talked to people after people, and there's so many people today that are just so caught up with this thought. They're caught up with this idea that what are we going to do because of what's happening? In fact, Tony even made that, it's sort of sealed, because he even made that statement to me over here, over the fence today, you know. He says, with all this crazy stuff going on, I said, Tony, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Trust me, amen. It's not going to get any better. But here's the thing. I run into so many Christians that worry so much. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do if Hillary gets in there? What are we going to do if this person gets in there? What are we going to do if the Supreme Court justices are all liberals? What are we going to do? And they seem like that's all they're sucked up on and tied into. Can I tell you what? Do I care about our country? Absolutely. But can I tell you this? I get excited when I see things going on in our country.
Yeah.
I get excited when I see socialism coming so close. I hate socialism, amen? But I get excited because you know what that does? It's pointing me to this thought that Jesus is coming soon. Now let me tell you what. Whatever happens in our country, whatever happens in our lives, whatever happens around the world, it does, here's the title of the message, it does not change God. It does not change God. He's still the same God, still the same Savior, amen. Yeah. Still the same. Listen, still the same lover of mankind, the same God. He has never changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and we could say tomorrow, but forever, amen. And forever. He's not going to change. He has never changed. He never will change. No matter what happens, I want you to understand this, the Bible will still have all the answers. Did you hear me? No matter what happens, the Bible will still have all the answers. Well, Brother Mike, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if they come in and they lock you up for preaching the Word of God? If they just come in and say, you're done. We're going to put you can't say another word, or we're going to take you to jail. Pastor, I'll share a cell with you, amen. Because I know you ain't going to quit, I don't believe, and I ain't going to quit, amen. I'm just going to keep on preaching the Word of God, amen. If I go to jail, I'll keep on preaching the Word of God there. I'm not worried about it. Why? Because God is in control. Amen. If I go to jail for something stupid, then that's on me. But if I go to jail for preaching the gospel of Christ, for standing right, and for loving God with all my heart, then praise the Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. Ain't going to bother me one bit. Amen. They're just going to serve God until I can't serve Him anymore. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this: the Bible will still have all the answers. Why? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's 2 Timothy 3:16, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Listen, for instruction in righteousness. That it's not, listen, instruction that we might live a righteous life, that we might have the right kind of life as believers in Jesus Christ. The Bible still has, no matter what happens, Sister Bev, around us, the Bible still has all the answers. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Hallelujah, I'm glad for that. The Bible has all of the answers. Look at 1 Peter with me. Keep your, we're not coming back here to the Hebrews, but you can go to 1 Peter with me in chapter 1. And let me read just a couple of verses to you out of 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 6 makes this statement, beginning of verse 6, whereunto we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the difficulty, the hardships, the temptation that comes your way sometimes. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you have not seen Him, ye love. I love Him. I haven't seen Him, but I love Him because I know what He has done for me. Though now ye see Him not, yet believing. I still believe. I haven't seen Him, but I still believe, Pastor. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported, preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels even desire to look into it. They can't see it all. They don't understand. The angels don't understand what we feel when we get saved. But we don't understand yet what it feels like to stand before a holy God and worship Him. Amen. One day we will. The Bible still has all the answers. We don't see Him, but we know Him. We don't see Him, but we believe Him. Why? Because He is God. He is the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Write it down if you're taking notes. Romans 15 and verse 4 makes this statement. Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. The Word of God's written for your learning, for my learning. Watch what he says. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And it's not like I hope that this is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's a surety. That word hope there is something that you can put your, you can stand upon it. It's not I hope that Jesus is coming. It's a sure thing when you use the word hope here in the text. It's a surety for you and I. It's going to happen. He is coming back. Amen. Boy, the Bible still has all the answers for you. No matter what you go through in your life, and no matter what I go through in my life, no matter what those go through around us, regardless of how it happens or what happens, the Bible still has all the answers. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people don't look for the answers. That's the problem. A lot of people don't come to the Word of God and look for the answers from the Word of God. They come to the Word of God and they want to see what they want to see, and they try to prove what they want to prove, but they don't take Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture to prove the very truth of the Word of God. Now, not only will the Bible still have all the answers, but I want you to see the second thought I have written down here, that there will still be, no matter what happens, there will still be God-anointed preaching. there will still be pastor, God anointed preaching. There's still going to be preachers in this country, regardless of what happens in this country. There's going to be preachers in this country that are still going to preach the very word of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, to do what's right as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there's going to be some who aren't going to stand like they ought to stand, pastor. In fact, we see that today. There's many preachers today that you know and that I know that used to stand by the stuff and stand strong, and now they have backed off. I hope by the grace of God I will never go there. I hope by the grace of God, amen, it's only His grace that will keep me straight the rest of my life. I hope that I will never go the direction of many of them, because I want to have God anointed preaching in my life. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says this. Isaiah 61 1. The Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord God, is upon me. Look what he says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now you'll find that same text quoted over in the New Testament, where Jesus makes that statement about himself, the book of Isaiah chapter 61. He's fulfilling the prophecy. He said, I am the one in Isaiah 61 that God was talking about. And he said, He hath anointed me to preach. He said in Jonah chapter 3 verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching, that's anointed preaching, the preaching that I bid thee. Amen. It's not what you want to preach. Jonah was upset, amen. You studied, but when he preached what God wanted him to preach, the whole city repented. The whole city turned around. Well, I had a friend today I was talking to on the phone this afternoon. I'm going to have revival meetings there, and I love him. I love him to death. But he made this statement to me on the phone this morning. He says, I don't believe that we'll have revival anymore in my church. He said, I don't believe it works. That's sad to come to that place where you don't believe revival works. Well, let's say if there's only five people out and only one person got right with God, didn't revival work in that person's heart?
Amen.
I mean, they want to see revival like Billy Sunday saw. Why? You know, we could see that again, but it's going to take people getting right with God. Amen. We could see that stuff. I believe that with all my heart. But it begins with you, as we said on Sunday morning. It begins with you as a believer in Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, he said, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Send them forth means he's going to anoint them, send them out, pastor, fill them with the Spirit, that they could preach the very word of God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. Every creature. We're not to leave one stone unturned. We're going to get the gospel out to every nation, every tribe, every place around the world. About 12 or 14, maybe 15 years ago, they found a new tribe of people in Papua New Guinea that did not even know they existed. A new tribe. And so I bet you that there's still some around the world, Brother Dave, where nobody has ever been, but one day they're going to be reached. Amen? One day. I remember hearing a story years ago of a missionaries with bearing precious seed. This one guy, he would take a big bus down, and he'd set up and many people had never even seen this back where he went down to Mexico back years ago. And he'd set up a big movie screen and play a movie for him, a Christian movie, and then they would preach to him and hand out tracts. He said, what amazed me, there was no television, there was no cars, there was nothing in this area where we went. I'm going back probably 40 years. There was nothing in this area where we went, but it amazed me. There was an empty bottle of Coca-Cola in the house of one of the people. Coca-Cola had made it there, but the gospel hadn't. He says, shame on us, amen. They ought to know as much about us as they do Coca-Cola. In fact, can I be honest with you? They ought to know more about us than they do about Coca-Cola. It's amazing. Coca-Cola made it, but we did not make it. Peter states in Acts chapter 10, verse 42... Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He says, boy, you go and you testify and you tell them, you preach to the people that I am the one. I am the one that was quick and I was dead and now I'm quickened. Amen. I am him. I am risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, he says, for after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, I tell you what, he uses preaching to save them that they might believe. And sometimes the preaching comes in a form, pastor, of a booklet, a form of a tract. Amen. But some people will say, well, preaching doesn't work anymore. Sure, it works. Amen. And we need preaching. And I got to tell you this, we need hard preaching. We need right preaching. We need correct preaching. I'm not saying every pastor has to be like that pastor, but you know, when we have the opportunity and the evangelist comes in, he ought to preach with gusto as much as he can to get the Word of God out. We have to, preaching is the idea to send forth the gospel or to proclaim the gospel or the good news is the idea of shouting it out. Amen. That's the idea, and we ought to shout out the Word of God to all those who are around us. Well, not only will the Bible have all the answers and there will be God-anointed preaching, but I want to tell you this. The Holy Spirit will still move. The Holy Spirit's not going to stop. He'll still move. No matter what happens in our country, no matter what happens in the world, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is still going to move amongst His people. He's still going to move to the hearts of those who aren't saved. He's still going to be convicting those who need to be saved. By the way, before you got saved, you never got saved without the Holy Spirit of God convicting you.
Amen.
It took the Holy Spirit of God convicting you before you ever came to salvation and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you were 4 years old, or if you were 22 years old, or if you were 30 years old, or however old you were, or if you were like Dave and got born when you were a year old, you know, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Still God, the Holy Spirit's what brings you to that point that you might get born again, saved by the very grace of God. By the way, it's the Holy Spirit that moves in your heart to cause you to want to do right as a child of God and to get things right with God as a child of God. Luke chapter 11 verse 13 says this, if ye then being evil know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now, you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, amen? So what's He talking about then? That fullness. If you ask God to fill you and to use you, you know, for that to happen, you have to be clean. For that to happen, you have to be right with God. For that to happen, you got to be God-motivated, amen? For that to happen, you have to make sure your heart's in the right relationship. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God in your life, that means, that's talking about God's power in your life. That's not talking about, I know I'm saved and I know I've got the Holy Spirit. No, that's talking about not hindering Him. That's talking about not locking Him out. That's talking about using Him to every, letting Him use you, amen? Don't lock Him out of your life. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. He says, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But you need sometimes the filling of the Spirit. We got saved, we've got the Spirit. But is it a joy to serve Jesus? And there's joy in, the song says, in serving who? Jesus, amen. Is there a joy in your life in serving Jesus? Or is it just a self-satisfactory thing? Or are you really taking joy? Lord, I want to do for you and serve you and go where you want me to do and be obedient to you with my life as a child of God. That's what it ought to be as a believer in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And you go back and you study that text, you talk about let him bestow, steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands, think it was good that he might have to give to him the needs. He says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, lie not one to another, speaking truth, amen, for we are members one of another, neighbors. I think I just misquoted that whole verse there, amen, but it is there somewhere, amen. He talks about all kinds of different things in that text. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun of wrath go down upon your not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so, I mean, the scriptures tell us very plainly. So if we do those things, he says, then you're grieving the Spirit of God. Grieve not the Spirit of God, amen. But let him use you and magnify himself through you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Boy, isn't that something? His Holy Spirit. He said, when somebody despises, if you give somebody the gospel and they despise you, it's not you that they're despising. They're despising God. Amen. People don't want to hear about God. You start talking to Tony about God, he wants to change that subject right now. You don't want to hear about the Lord. I was witnessing to a guy who was over here one time where he was working on his motorcycle a few years back, Pastor. Guy, skinny guy, coming to the fence. You got that big trailer? What do you do with that? I was telling the guy. Guy really seemed interested. So I'm standing there. I go by the track and take a track out of my pocket. And I stand there, give it to him. I said, that used to be me, you know. And I said, that's what I used to look like. And I said, then he turned over and says, swallowed my hair and got fat. Amen. But I said, now if you read that in there, that'll tell you how you can get saved, how you can get born again and trust Jesus Christ. And I said, that will help you to know how you can go to heaven. As soon as Tony, who was around the corner in his room there working, you know, the big garage doors open, and as soon as he heard me say that this will help you know how you can get to heaven, Tony walks around the corner, walks up beside that guy, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he called him by name. He said, and you and I, and he called the guy by name, we're going to ride our motorcycles right into hell, aren't we? Big smile on his face. And the guy just stood there like this. You know, I don't know if the guy has been saved or... But the guy had some kind of religious training through a church somewhere to respond. When Tony said that, that guy never said one word. But as soon as Tony heard me witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, amen, and that stopped everything right there. And the spirit that was over, you know, brother. That's a shame, isn't it, that would happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will still move, and it's not you or I that he despises, or that somebody in this community despises, or and you and this church has been despised, amen, because of standing for the truth, amen. And especially that group right across the street there does not like you. You know that? I was sitting there now when they had that funeral going on, we should have the door open and the windows open over here. And just let her rip, brother, amen. Let her rip, Tater Chip, amen, as a friend of mine says. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So we see in the Scripture, the Bible still has the answers. There will still be God anointed preacher. The Holy Spirit will still move. And I want you to know this. Prayer will still work.
Amen.
Prayer will still work. Amen. And I think that this preacher friend of mine, another preacher friend of mine called me yesterday, jokingly, but he's real serious when he talks to me in the beginning, but I can always tell him he's joking just by the way he says something. He says, we're canceling revival meetings next week, Brother Mike, because nobody came out to prayer meeting. And I just start laughing at him, and then he starts chuckling in the background. I said, I know you're lying to me, you know. He said, well, you know, he said, I was about ready to do something, because he said, normally we'd have 35 people out. And he said, last few weeks since we've announced revival meetings and we've been praying for revival meetings, we're hardly getting 15 people out to the prayer service. It's like people don't want to come and pray. They don't want to hit their knees, Pastor. They don't want to. Down in Alabama, in southern Alabama, right before you, actually northern Alabama, excuse me, right before you get to Tennessee, there's a Christian camp down there that a guy, his name just completely skipped my mind, it doesn't matter, an evangelist, and he's opened that camp up years ago. He owns the property, runs a camp, and every week of Thanksgiving, he runs a prayer meeting for men. And they go the week before, the week of. And they go 3 days, brother, in prayer. And that's all they do is pray. They pray. They pray. It used to be, before revival meetings would come up, that a lot of churches would be, and I did this when I pastored, and I don't know how well it went over. I never kept a record on it. But sometimes we draw a clock on a piece of paper and write the hours in there, and would you pray for 15 minutes during one of those time slots so we could be praying 24 hours around the clock. That means you might have to set your clock at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray for 15 minutes. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have that 1 o'clock in the afternoon slot, not 1 o'clock in the morning. But regardless, I remember in our home church, I remember Pastor Beach doing that. And I got up when I was associate pastor, and I went over to the church at about 3 o'clock in the morning and got down and prayed for our revival meetings that were upcoming. And we had other people that did the same thing in our church. And we had a 24-hour prayer vigil before that started. I know some churches that will have prayer meetings in their homes a month before the revival meeting starts, Pastor. And not just at the church. They come to the church for their regular prayer meeting, but they'll meet together in a home of a member of the church in their area, and they will pray for that revival meeting for 2 or 3 hours on a Tuesday night, on a Monday night, on a Thursday night. And we are lacking prayer today in our church. We're lacking prayer personally today. I'd like to be able to pray like Brother Don Green, and I don't know if I'll ever get there, where he prays between 3 and 4 hours every day. He's done that for 60 years he's been praying. I don't know how long he's been praying that long, but he prays. Somebody said that they were going to New Guinea with him when his daughter passed away, the Pope of New Guinea, and he said he was on the plane, and he said, we watch him. He prayed for, and that's a 14 and a half hour flight, amen, from Los Angeles to Australia. And he prayed, because I've been on that flight, amen. He prayed for 5 hours straight. 5 hours straight he prayed. Going through his cards. He used to pray without going through cards. He had all up here. And then as he started to get older, he started not remembering. So here's how he prayed one day. He said, Lord, he said to God, he said, I love you. Would it be all right if I wrote these down? And he said, the Lord gave me confirmation in my mind that it was okay to write them down. Amen. Amen. You don't do anything without asking God, brother. Amen. I tell you, I thank God for that. Amen. Prayer will still work. I don't care what happens in this country. I don't care who becomes president. I don't care if our economy crashes and goes down to absolutely nothing and the gas gets up to $5 a gallon. It was close to that. It's been that in California a few times. Amen. I think it's still that out there, to be honest with you. But it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter. Do I care about those things? Yeah, I don't want to pay that kind of money for that stuff. But I want to tell you something. Prayer will still work. God's still in control. Don't let this stuff weigh you down so much that's all you think about. You think about all the negative things that are going on out here in the community, out here in the world, out here in the United States. Don't think about it. Get off of that stuff and start thinking about this. Amen. And get in prayer as a believer in Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, the verse before. So he said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. The very next verse. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? Amen. That's what we're supposed to do as believers in Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. And then he says, and quench not the Spirit. Amen. You keep on reading down through there. Quench not the Spirit. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I don't know if anybody here ever fainted. You know, you ever gone out, Pastor? I don't know. I was almost there once or twice. I got knocked out one time. You know, I've never been knocked out. I've been hit in the head a lot. My wife hits me every day. I'm not kidding, amen. I've been hit in the head a lot. I mean, I used to fight, but I never got knocked out by being hit in the head. Never saw stars by being hit in the head. Never in my life, you know. Never broke my jaw. Probably should have. Probably some guys would like to. But you know how I got knocked out? I was boxing with a guy in jail. And we were legal. Anything below the neck and above the waist was legal. And I dropped my guard. And he hauled off and he come across like this, and he hit me right here where your heart, you know, and it makes your heart go like this. And I went down. That was it, man. It put me out. So I thought, I like that trick. So I did it to another guy in prison when I got mad at him one time. Amen. Don't try it, brothers. You might get hurt. Sister, use it on him. Hallelujah. Amen. But what I'm saying is that he said, and faint not. That's not the kind of faint he's talking about. He said, it means don't quit. Don't stop. Pray for it. Keep on praying for it. Well, I've been praying for this fellow to get saved, or this lady to get saved, or my children to get saved, or my aunts or uncles to get saved for 30 years. So what? So what? Keep praying. Don't quit, amen. A lot of people, when it gets rough, pastors are going to quit. They're going to say, God, where were you? God, how come you let us down? How come you let our country down, God? God didn't let our country down. He's keeping His promise. Amen. We forsake Israel, we're going to be forsaken. That's all there is to it, brother. It comes right down to that. Amen. He says in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray. Always, he said, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that when these things come our way, that when these things come, that we're going to be able to stand as the children of God. That we might lose our jobs. You might not have a job this year, brother. I don't know. You know, right now you got one. They need teachers who are smarter than the children. How'd you get the job? They need teachers who are smarter than the children, amen? We need them out there. We need more good teachers like that. We need good people, you know. You might not have a job, Dave, at the post office. It might be done. It might be over with. Brother Bill, your Social Security might be cut out this year. You don't know. I don't know. It might be completely done and over with. But let's pray and trust God anyway, amen. It's in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. That was Romans 12:12. Well, not only as we study the Scripture, not only as believers in Christ, if we look at the Word of God and that the Bible will have all the answers, there'll still be God anointed preaching, the Holy Spirit will still move, prayer will still work. But I want you to see another one. God will still pour out His blessings upon His people. He's not going to stop blessing His people. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3. Over the book of Galatians in chapter 3. In your Bible we read this, Galatians chapter 3. I think I got the right text. I have a tendency of messing up my notes on this stinking thing sometimes, so I think I'm okay, amen. Galatians chapter 3. And look with me if you would, beginning down in verse 7. He makes this statement. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Oh, did you pick up on that? You're a child of Abraham. Amen? Why? Because he's the father of the faith, as we would look at him in that respect back then. The Bible said he was justified by what? By faith, not by works. It says in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. That's those who were not Jewish people. Justify the heathen through the faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You've been blessed because of Abraham, because of faith. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curse is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. In fact, I think it's over in Hosea, it says the just shall live by his faith. He says in verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Well, live in faith, do the faith, serve God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Watch, that the blessing... The blessings of God are not going to stop for you and I as believers in Christ. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. I'll tell you what, His blessings are not going to stop. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counseling of God, and standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. That's Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe. Close to it. Amen. God will still pour out His blessings upon His people. I want you to see another one with me. There will still be room at the cross. No matter what happens in our country, people say, we're not seeing as many people saved as we saw back in the 60s. Well, listen, there's been a revival. I don't know. I didn't get on. Have you checked out? Is that revival still going on down in Burlington, Pastor? Do you know? I don't know. There was a revival that went on. It went on for at least 11, 12, maybe 13 weeks down in Burlington, North Carolina, Independent Baptist Revival Meeting, a tent meeting. And they had, I think the last count I heard was like 1,300 people gotten saved in that meeting, Pastor, this week. I mean, they had that revival meeting and that tent meeting, and things started to break loose. The Holy Spirit started moving. People started getting saved. Drug addicts, prostitutes, drunks were coming to the meeting, getting saved by the grace of God. And that meeting extended and extended and extended. I was involved, a friend of mine was involved with another one of the meetings over in down in Roanoke, Alabama, just about three years ago. And their meeting went for 5 weeks in a row. And they saw over 300 people come to Jesus Christ in that 5 weeks. A 5 week revival meeting. Can you imagine that? Hey, it still works in our country. Why? Because there's still room at the cross. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He said that, and he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Wow, how? By the cross. He wants you to be reconciled to him by the cross of Calvary. By the way, you know, Jesus could have died, but he had to die on the cross. The Bible says he had to die on the tree. He had to shed his blood. Amen. He had to be pierced. All those things had to happen to him. But not one bone was broken. We saw that Sunday morning. Not one bone broken. Amen. But the scripture was fulfilled. And that's how he had died. He could not have died any other way. He could not have died from the swine flu. Amen. Which he would not have picked up by eating pig anyway. Amen. But he could not have died by anything else. Could not have died from pneumonia. Could not have died by somebody taking a spear and thrusting it through his heart. Could not have died that way. He had to die on the cross. He had to die on the cross by his shed blood, with his body pierced, without a bone broken, with a crown of thorns on his head. Amen. And then he had to have his garments. His garments had to be gambled over. That's what the scripture says. And that was fulfilled in the New Testament. And was all prophesied of in the Old Testament. He had to go to the cross. And there's still room at the cross. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, it's, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 through 14, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That means he made you alive. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the law. Amen. Blotting all that out, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And then I want you to see the last thought with me. Jesus will still save the lost when they come to him. He'll still save the lost. But you know, the person has to... I don't know how you were when you got saved, but I fought it for 2 years. I fought salvation. I fought against those who were giving me the gospel of Christ. In fact, there was a young guy in prison that was witnessing to me, brother. I hated him. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want him around me. I threatened to beat him up one day. Amen. Didn't help. Amen. Did you beat him up? No, almost. Amen. Scared him half to death, I think. But, you know, I didn't want to hear the gospel. I didn't want it. But I heard it. And I was under conviction. I was under such great conviction for almost 2 years before I got saved by the very grace of God. I want to tell you something. Jesus will still save the lost when they come to Him. He's got to be working in the heart, but you need to come to Him. Why? Because John 3:16. I had a guy get mad at me one night because I said, God doesn't hate you. God loves you. He does love you. Well, the Bible says that God hated Esau, yet Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. I said, you got a misunderstanding what the Word of God is talking about, amen? And you do. If that's where you're going to say, well, God hates people, you know. He hates the sin, amen? He hates the sin, brother. I want to tell you what. You better get in the Word of God and find the Word of God, because Jesus Christ loved you. For God so loved the world. I asked him, what's that world he's talking about there? this ball of earth we're on, this dirt. No, he's talking about mankind. He so loved you and so loved me. He didn't die just for one or two people. He died for all those who needed to be saved, born again by the very grace of God. He said in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Your sacrifice, my sacrifice. He didn't do that because we love Him. He did that because He loves us. In Romans 10:9-10, "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in the heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Why? How? Why? "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with what? The mouth confession is made unto salvation." There had to be a time in your life when you came to Jesus Christ believing that He is God, believing that He is right, believing that you are wrong. It has to come to that place in your life and my life as believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus will still save the lost when they come to Him. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever come to Jesus? I'm not talking about like the guy told me a few years ago. He says, "I have always believed." No, it's not about always believing. It's about that time in your life when you came to Jesus. Have you ever come to Jesus? Have you ever been born again, saved by the very grace of God? Do you know for sure if your life ended right now that you have eternal life? I know for sure. You see, some people, I had a person talking about, you can't know for sure. I said, sure you can. I said, there's a Bible verse for that. No, there is not. Well, sure there is. 1 John 5:13. "These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life." You may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." It means if you don't know, you can believe, and if you are saved, then you know it. Amen. I know I'm saved. I don't have a question mark about it. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. Amen. Amen. It has nothing to do with you, but everything from God, everything He's done for you as a child of God. Jesus will still save the lost when they come to Him. Don't give up. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changing. He's our God. Amen. And we need to put our faith and trust in Him, trusting Him, believing Him, what He says in His Word. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to do the same thing I've done every night. Do you know for sure if you die that you have eternal life? You know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. If you know that, slip up your hand. Like, I know I'm saved. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You can put them down. Praise the Lord. Every hand in here went up, and I'm sure those in the hallway went up. Amen. Because I saw some of them the other day. Praise the Lord. You might be dwelling on all these things going around. Worried about tomorrow. Worrying about yesterday. Worrying about what's going to happen. Just trust God. Amen. Because it don't change God. It doesn't change God. Yeah, maybe tonight, just with an upraised hand, you might say, "Mike, the Lord spoke to my heart this evening. Would you just pray for me?" How about right now? Just, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else tonight? I'll pray for you. I really will. Praise the Lord. In fact, we're going to do it this way. We've done this every night. We're going to do it this way. If you just raise your hand, you slip on and come up here to the altar tonight. If you can't kneel down, you sit down in the front pew. You just come. I want to pray for you again. You just slip on and come. Come on. You raise your hand. Come on. And if you didn't raise your hand but you need to come, you need to come. You just get up and come. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand but you know you need to come, you just come. You just get up and come. You don't have to raise your hand to come forward. Amen. You just slip out and come forward. Let God do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, the way He wants to do it. Father, I thank You for these, Heavenly Father, Lord, that slipped out of their seat and came to the altar tonight, Lord. God, I'm not anything special, Father, to give them anything just because they come, but we know that you're special, Lord. And we know that you're the giver of all things, Lord. And I ask, Father, you help them in their lives. And, Father, strengthen them, Lord. And, God, just use them to your honor and to your glory, Father. These meetings are the preaching part of it, my aspect is over, but these meetings should never end, Father. You ought to have the honor and the glory in every person's life in this room, Lord. So I pray, Father, you help them and strengthen them, Lord, and use them mightily, Father, to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. And Lord, that we will not put on the worry face of yesterday or today or tomorrow, Father, but God, that we'll put on the happy face of what you have done for each one of us. And God, help us to focus on you and quit focusing on ourselves, that you might have the glory and the honor now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor, you come.
In our hymn book says, if you are tired of the load of your sin, let